Hey, what is up, everybody? We're back with Jeff Meets Sports and Off the Ball Network podcast and affiliate. We're continuing our series about the college football season. We're down to one game. We just got through, the bowl season. We're going to whatever you think of it. But I got a really special guest, on with me. We haven't caught up in a couple of years. I'm a fan of his, I'm a fan of his stuff that he does, and and he supports my material that I put out. But we rarely get together. So, back with me today, I got Mash from Hops Geek News, one of my favorite shows out there. I'll just get that out of the way. If you just like fun shit, or if you sci-fi, beers, general topics, just intelligent people talking about stuff is how I would describe the show. Go check out Hops Geek News. Mash, thanks for coming on, man. How's it going?
What's up, man? Dude, like we were talking before the show, it doesn't feel like it's been as long as it has, because
it's crazy.
We still chop it up, on Twitter and stuff like that. But it feels good to especially come on and get to talk sports. I love all the takes, again, the mutual respect that we have and getting to talk, because there's a lot to cover, this bowl season. But yeah, dude, it was just sports. It feels good to talk about sports again.
It's crazy because to listen to your show, as good as your show is, you guys, I know Lauren's a Dolphins, fellow Dolphins fan like me, so that's exciting, but you guys really don't go down that road. I know you've done some sports content over the years, but people would maybe not guess exactly the sports nut that you are and how you're intelligent, you look at it and stuff. So this is perfect. Shout out to Jeremy. That's how we met a few years ago. I don't get to talk to that guy enough, but I still love him and everything he's done.
I live an hour away from him now, so I get to see him so often. It's kind of cool.
He may not believe me, but Jeremy, if you hear this, I still plan on coming down there. We have scheduled trips around North Carolina so many times, but it's still on our list to go down there and hang out with Jeremy and see the sights and beautiful scenery and all that down there. So awesome. Everybody over Hops Geek, been big fans the whole time. So let's get to it, man. I told you I wasn't gonna complicate things tonight. We're gonna have a general discussion about the kind of the state of college football is how I'm gonna put this out there. So I think I'll start with this. The regular, or we'll call it the regular season pre-bowl games, I thought it was a really good season, really exciting. I personally liked having the blue bloods back, I won't say back on top, but kind of flood the top and all that. That's just the kind of guy I am. I'm a high state fan, full disclosure. Everybody knows that. So, I'm kind of the big kid on the block, and everything. How did you feel about the regular season going into bowl season?
Honestly, it was really refreshing to me. I think this year kind of reinvigorated my interest in college football because you had a lot to be excited for. I know this is the final year going into the Final Four, four playoff before we expand to 12. But I mean, it really kind of was almost, there was no clear cut juggernaut. Georgia looked beatable. And of course, they ended up infamously losing. You had some new teams up there. Early on, Texas beat Alabama, which was kind of a shocker. I don't think anybody honestly saw that coming. I thought Texas had a chance, but I didn't think they would realistically beat Bama. Of course, you had the 4th-and-31 Alabama miracle in Auburn. That was exciting games. They had way more close games this season than I think they really had in the past. Even Ohio State and Michigan, everything that kind of broke from this season, right? The whole Connor Stallion scandal and then just the hype and buildup that led into the big game this year. It felt different than years past. And admittedly, I'm also a Boise State fan because that's my alma mater. And the year that they had to start the way they did, and there wasn't a lot of excitement. There was a lot of what are we doing? This is the worst season in 20 years to turn around, win the Mountain West. Of course, they ended up losing in the bowl game, but they turn their season around. And so it's just crazy, the landscape of college football right now. I think we're seeing a shift and it's getting more competitive, which is something that not necessarily we've had in the past, 10 years almost.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought, because I'm a college football maniac, I watch in and out every week. And I really thought that's a good word for it. I think it was about as competitive. It was way closer than than people might realize. Because if you're a casual fan, or you know, if you just check in on the bowl games, you look like, oh, okay, I recognize all these names, everything just went as you know expected and all that. But if you really watch the games, you're like, no, these teams, you know, Georgia got pushed, you know, from several teams top to bottom. Ohio State got pushed by a couple teams that wouldn't normally. Michigan, you know, it's hard to remember now, they've played so good for a few weeks, but like even Rutgers kind of made them work a little bit.
Maryland like made that. Them work really hard too.
Yeah, Maryland.
Like, it wasn't always a blowout central every week.
Yeah, so like I don't, and like you already talked about, Alabama fought through it. Nobody walked through the season. You know, Washington has done a great job, but they're a little battle. They had a couple games to where it came right down to it, and they needed a big play to not get upset. We forget about that stuff as it goes on. It was so great. I've always attributed a lot of it to like the transfer portal. We'll talk about it a little bit here, but that attributes to a lot of it because you start spreading this talent out. Teams get quarterbacks. That's the key to the transfer portal. We spread it out. You know, NIL, it might keep guys around. It may move guys. It shifts the power. It's another thing that evens it out. And then everything was great. And then we have bowl season. We'll talk about the playoffs separately because the playoffs are handled totally different than every other bowl game by the teams, just for logical reasons. This is the last 4-team playoff. So it's like, we don't waste a ton of breath worrying about next year because it's different. So we'll talk about next year. But like, then the bowls hit, and I thought the bowls, there was a couple entertaining ones, but like, it seemed like every team had a backup quarterback. Every team had their opt-outs. And again, I'm not judging any of these. I have no idea why these players do it, and I would never want to guess or judge why they do it. But what I'm saying is on the field, ton of backup quarterbacks, sometimes third string quarterbacks. I mean, even, you know, a team is, you know, as good as Ohio State limps into a game with a quarterback that hasn't thrown a pass all year. Just a weird situation. So like my takeaway overall is I was a little disappointed in the bowl games, especially as the rankings got higher, the games got worse, and culminating with the Georgia played Florida State in one of the worst games I ever saw. I know we're both excited. We both like to watch sports all the time. So the bowl games were on. I will say that they did a great job putting them on TV. Like,
oh yeah.
It felt like,
dude, the Pop-Tart Bowl, man. I was in it for a little. Pop-Tart
Bowl was cool.
If we can get more of that, I think that'll bring some more excitement.
So
I know I'm with you on the bowls.
How'd you feel like as you watched them transpire, like, you know, just about how the bowl games kind of, and the overall feeling of them?
Yeah, they're really, I mean, there were some good matchups here and there. I was excited, you know, again, Boise State to see them take UCLA, but then we lost our quarterback to the transfer portal. And so we had a guy, freshman, hadn't thrown a pass all year.
I mean,
our backup was hurt, you know, and so it takes kind of the excitement away. And I think that there's a mistake in opening the transfer portal before bowl season almost. I get it, but at the same time, it kind of sucks because, like you said, Florida State's down 15 starters, their third string quarterbacks walking in, and then just a lot of teams, there's transfer after transfer after transfer, and a lot of them are quarterbacks, and a lot of them are key players at times. And so it's really hard to judge if you're not in the playoff. You got people just opting out, which is not really a new thing, but the transfer portal hit. So then they're opting out for that reason. And yeah, like you have Ohio State, Missouri, which is by all intents and purposes, like that was one I had circled. I was very excited for that. Mizzou played a really surprisingly well season. Ohio State isn't a pushover. I get Marvin Harrison Jr. He was going to sit out, you know, protect that investment for next year. But when Neil McCord decided to transfer, that was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. I'm kind of curious there. And then, of course, you got a guy who was just getting just demolished. And so it kind of took away from the excitement there. And then, of course, we knew Georgia was going to win, but that game was over in the first quarter. So it was background noise at that point.
Yeah, that was really disappointing. So that was the most disappointing thing is you had these matchups that – you know, I don't want to talk about both sides of my face here because I've always said like bowl games don't matter. But what I always meant was like they teams can go out and play, but the result doesn't, like, it's not the end of the world. But these ones went to another level of almost being like almost a waste of time. I mean, I hate to say that about the play. There's no way that Florida State had no intentions on playing the game. They did not care about the game. I understand what happened to them. I don't even. That's a whole different scenario, but like you did have another game. That's the performance that you gave us. And it's like, as viewers, because that's what this is. College football is a TV show. That's where all the money comes from.
Yeah, that's how, like, all these schools make their money, is TV deals, for sure. Yeah,
so it is. So, like, when a guy like Jeff, a guy like Mash sits down, they're like, great, Florida State, I'm ready to, you know, drink a few beers, enjoy this game, get on the Twitter X, start, and then it, nothing. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, I was really excited. I was, you know, I was hoping there would at least be a game for a bit, which it kind of looked like at first for a second there. It's like, okay, Florida State's defense is getting a couple stops. And then, you know, the floodgates open and was like, that's no fault. Like, Florida State, their third string quarterback, he actually played pretty well.
He played better than Ohio State's third string quarterback.
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty decent. He was throwing, making some good passes. But this year, above all, I do have a feeling that it was like, yeah, these might be the worst bowl games that we did overall. I mean,
yeah,
when you have Liberty taking on Oregon,
yeah,
you knew that wasn't going to work out.
Right. And I understand what they tried to do with this system and
right.
team like they won. And that's fine. I think, I'm not blaming Liberty. Liberty should have went, should have tried. But we also, it's like, as a viewer, is what, how I look at it, you took away another game. Let's go ahead and let Oregon play Georgia then. If that's what we're going to do, let Oregon play Georgia.
Yeah.
Florida State play Liberty. Let them figure it out. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's a television product at that point. Until you get to
the playoffs, if a lot of people, the way they feel, Georgia still, that everybody felt was like in the top four, I still kind of feel like they're one of the best four teams in the country.
No, for sure.
Florida State, yes, when you win the ACC, you go undefeated, and then you get kind of screwed out of a playoff chance and then be fed a very angry Kirby Smart led Georgia team.
Yeah.
Like, you had to have known. So I would have loved to see, Florida State take on Liberty.
Yeah,
Georgia,
that was a take bad on Oregon.
Like, but then to serve up Florida State as almost like, it felt like they were apologizing to Georgia when they should have apologized more to Florida State.
Yeah.
Come on, man. What are we doing? We knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, that was the thing. What's crazy about it is then they want to put it as like, oh, you know, it's a bowl game and it's competition and all that. But then if it would have went well, they would have went, oh yeah, and, you know, the game meant a lot. It's like they pick and choose, but
it was a lose-lose. Yeah,
I can't wait to dig into the actual television ratings, because they had to really, really been down for the bigger games. And you're talking about a guy like me, and I live in a state where it's legal to gamble. And so that's that's the only thing that kept me slight interested. I won't lie at all. There was a couple of goes. I thought the Clemson Kentucky game was really entertaining. Enjoyed that a lot.
That fourth quarter had like, what was it, like 35 points or 42 points?
That was
something like that scored. That was a fun game.
But I'm like, we should have had more of that. I just want to have fun. I just want to, like, you know, especially if it's one of those games where you're lucky enough to, like, maybe you didn't have to work that day. It's kind of weird to watch a football game a Friday afternoon, but it's that's what makes bowl season so much fun. And then, and then that makes you remember how good it was. But then you have the duds and you're like, oh, but it's just different now. And I don't know, like, there's no way to bring it back, because I keep telling everybody, you can't force players to do anything. I know that's what everybody wants to happen. This whole like forcing this and not opening a portal at the same time, I think takes away from distractions. I don't know if any more kids would have played. That's what I wonder. Cause
it's the same. Does it change the landscape? I mean, maybe not, because what if they already know they're going to transfer?
Yeah. Why would they? So, they do need to figure out something about all the timing, specifically because, like, they talked to some of the coaches. These coaches, you had National Signing Day before your bowl games. Like, they do not have time to worry about, quote unquote, a meaningless bowl game when they're trying to sign, you know, their five stars, you know, and all that. So, like, I think it would be pretty easy for them to work out some different timing issues for this. We know we're going into next year. It's a whole different animal. So, like, a lot of this is a moot point. But just, I wanted to get your thoughts overall on how, like,
it was definitely a down year. Yeah, it was an exciting season, but I feel like
I think it got stepped on. Yeah, I think it got stepped on. I did a show, shout out to Mo Up in Flames. We did a show earlier in the week. My comment was, they're definitely a year late for a 12-team playoff. Like, they really missed 100%. An opportunity to have some fantastic matchups and some fantastic home games because of the schools. I mean, whether it's Texas, Florida State, Ohio State would have been hosting playoff games. Like, they really, you know, they're really a year late on it. But we've said that for I don't know how long. I don't know if you've been a, you know, a playoff pro playoffs for a long time. I would imagine knowing you that
I've been screaming for like a 12 team at least, yeah, you know, playoff for a while, because the 14, what does it do? It hasn't worked for a while, because then everybody complains about the blowouts, but it's like, okay, but if you expand it, you're going to get more competitive games to start. Yeah. And then as they work their way up, right? Like imagine, you know, Beaver Stadium in Penn State hosting a playoff game.
Oh my goodness.
And like, say like USC or somebody comes out there, because you're going to see that next year with USC in the Big Ten. Yeah. So what if we see one of these like Pac-12 teams travel to Beaver Stadium? It's nighttime. The air is cold. They're not necessarily used to that. Like the elements come into a factor. It's more exciting, you know? Yeah. Like, or Alabama rolls into, you know, the Shoe. That would have been insane to see. And there's a big opportunity there. And then maybe in the Final Four is when you keep it down to, you know, maybe taking away the home field for
the I know the Final Four next year, the way the pattern is, the second round of games, which would be, you know, they're all the teams that get byes don't get a home game. So that's one thing that they're kind of complaining about. And I do get it, because like I would, you know, I'm sure every team would love to play at home.
Yeah, I get a bye. I'm the best. I deserve home field advantage. Yeah.
But I don't think they can really fix that, because these quote unquote bowls, the Fiesta Bowl, the Rose Bowl, especially the Rose Bowl, has really been a thorn in the side of college football for like two decades now. They've held up so much progress over the years because they won't come off the standalone 5 o'clock game. It took, I know you're a little younger than me, but I don't think you're too young to remember like, when it was everything they could do, when they started the BCS to pry the Pac-12, Big 12 thing, or it was Pac-10, Big 10 back then, out of the Rose Bowl's hands. Like it took everything they could do to let go. I remember like the first non-Big 10 or Pac-10 team was in it, you know, mostly I think it was because of Ohio State making the championship game back in 2002. And that was a big deal. Like give it up.
Because it's like the 5 o'clock almost even hurt them this year, because then in your Texas game didn't start until 9 o'clock. Like the Washington Texas game
on a holiday.
Like, not to mention it's on New Year's Day, so for a lot of the country they're pretty tired from the night before.
Yep.
And nobody, I didn't go out and party the night before. I was still asleep at by midnight, so I can't imagine the people who did go out and they're just exhausted. It's got to hurt their rate, because it was a good game too. But I feel like at the same time, they messed up not moving the times and having them start so much later. Because if one started earlier and then you have your next game, your primetime game starting at 6, 7 o'clock, boom, that's money right there.
Yeah. And it's crazy. So, and if anybody wants to know, the reason we have New Year's Eve playoff games is because of the Rose Bowl, because they won't come off that time. So, that's a thing too. So that's why you have your New Year's games every other year, New Year's Eve games, because of the Rose Bowl. Again, that's done. I don't know how they're going to do that round. I know next year, December.
Yeah.
December 20th is the first round of games next year. So two things we have is it's closer to the end of the regular season. It's only really 2 to 3 weeks off at the most for the teams that are going to be in the playoffs. So you don't have quite the gap, which means you don't have quite the healing period, which means it's actually, but you also don't lose some of the momentum and some of the flow. So to
it's
me,
also less I think time to prep for teams too.
Yep. You don't have, unless you're Michigan, you don't need much.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just a shot at them. And I don't apologize for that whatsoever. So yeah, next year's going to be pretty cool. So like, that just in general, that's what we talked about. We all know what we like about college football. Everybody still loves, you know, the atmosphere, the game itself. Like, we all know that. So like, I did want to kind of pick your brain on, like, you brought it up, like the transfer portal timing. Like, what are the things they need to tweak to keep the fans like me and you? Because we're the ones that like they should be catering to. Like, we're the demographic. We're the ones watching. We're the ones all that. Like, what are the things that they? What's a couple things they could do to maybe change the schedule or whatever next year?
I think, I don't know if this would work, because like you said, people can know they're going to transfer and then they can opt out. But I think start like maybe open up the transfer portal. It's like free agency in the NFL. It doesn't start to the off season, right? So I think that's what they should start with. Like, try that out. Open up the transfer portal once everything's done, because then you're probably going to have less opt-outs, because people are still trying
to have
play. You know, people are still trying to play. I think that's the big thing, because if you open up the transfer portal before, like, look what happened day one, how many quarterbacks left, how many teams were left a week before their bowl game. Like, yeah, I can't get my guy ready. He hasn't taken a snap all season.
Yeah.
What do I do? And then it affected the product in the field. And you end up with a 14-3 game from an offense that lost Marvin Harrison Jr. and their starting quarterback. You know, it's, yeah, you got to start it later, or you can't start it. Yeah. You got to start it later. That's the number one thing.
It would have to. And I assume that part of that is, cause I know this is crazy to say, but we forget that these players have to go to school, enroll in school. And I know it's kind of laughable. I'm not saying because they go to school, but we all know that that's not the most important part to the coaches or anyone else. So I don't know if that has to do with, like, they got these kids want to be there in the spring. I think that's what's putting
do they not finish out the school year?
I know. I believe they can go, they can be enrolled in the second semester. The way it's set up now. And I think that's what's messing things up, because they want to be there for the spring practices. I don't know how it got that way. I don't know who dropped the dates or if that's why, but I know that's a thing. It's no different than all the high school kids pretty much all graduate in December now.
Right. So
they can get there for spring practice. It's kind of the same thing, but they have to do something with the schedule. You can't have National Signing Day, the transfer portal and all that happening a week before the playoffs when you've got 12 teams in the playoffs. So now you got at least 12 teams that it's really, really going to affect, not to mention like everybody else that wants to go to those teams. Like you said, like Boise State's, you know, quarterback leaving, like you bring these guys along, you develop all year. And then when they leave again, I don't judge anybody, but man, it leaves a hole in your program.
Yeah.
when they step away, that's a lot of, like, I brought up that about Ohio State. Just because I watched all year, and I know how tough it was to get a new starting quarterback to 11-1. And then, so there's no way you had time to train a backup quarterback to get to that level. You know what I mean? Like you got to overcoach when you got a new guy. And then when he steps away, the backup that you're left with doesn't have near the preparation.
They don't have any real snaps.
They don't have anything. And they don't have any. It's just like the NFL is the same way. Like backup quarterbacks don't get any snaps. So, like, when they go in, everybody wonders why they look so bad. It's like, well, there's no time to get them snaps. It's
very different from practice speed to game speed.
Yeah.
That's not something you're going to learn on the fly in a week, especially in a high pressure game like, you know, the Sugar Bowl or whatever it is. Like, you're just not going to be prepared. You need snaps. And so, either start it midway through the season, I guess. That way, maybe the last couple of weeks you have a chance to develop the guy who's going to be next.
Oh, you know what? That's actually maybe earlier is better.
Yeah. Cause then at least maybe by the end of the last week or two, you know, hey, I'm going to transfer. All right. Yeah. I'm going to opt out. And now the guy behind me, who's not taking a single snap, he's the redshirt freshman. He can get some real life college, you know, experience playing the ball before he has to potentially play in a bowl game or whatever it may be. And hey, maybe your team's going into the playoff. I'm the 12th seed. Actually, I'm the starting quarterback for this 12th seed. I'm going to opt out.
Yeah.
And now they're going to complain about the 12 team playoff because it's going to be a blowout, not realizing that 15 starters just opted out before the bowl game started.
I think that's one of the best ideas I've heard, is have it earlier. Like if we're going to act like professionals now, if you're going to be able to make money on the side, again, I always want to clarify on my show, the players still don't get paid. They make money on the side off of their name. The schools still don't pay the players. I know it's murky water, but I always want to clarify that that's the truth. But they can be compensated now. They have more options. They have the portal where you don't have to sit out a year. Maybe make it earlier and be like a professional and be like, no, if you're going, go. Like, let's, you know, we got to move on here because, as much as I don't really like, because I think some college football head coaches are some of the worst people on the planet, regardless of what they do for a living. I don't want to feel bad for them, but boy, it really handcuffs you when your players walk away.
I think it's less feeling bad for the coaches and more feeling bad for those kids that only have four or five years, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't the NFL where you can sit behind a star quarterback for 4 years.
Right.
Pick their brain, and then you'd get the reins your fifth year. Like, you don't get that chance. You have 4 years, at most 4 years. Maybe that red shirt year puts you in the fifth year. Maybe there's some other things, but college is the stepping stone to the NFL, and you have to play at least 3 years or be in college 3 years to go to the draft. And there's only a limited time to make your tape for these teams to draft you or whatever it may be. And, you know, the money too, like the top 10 picks in the draft make substantially more in signing bonuses than the 10 to 20. And then the second round, the third, and so on. And so you need to, it's a little bit more pressure on them. Like either go, you're staying or you're going, because we don't have time for this. And that's just the nature of college.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, all the examples of that, of like, you look at what like guys like Bo Nix, Michael Penix, like all these guys have done to like Michael Penix is not where he's at if he stays in Indiana. I'm just, that's the absolute,
absolutely not.
The truth of it. And then now that he's played that, like you said, we got to see him that one more time Monday night. Amazing. That dude made millions Monday night, because now everybody's
the dimes, like, he was throwing. Yes.
Unbelievable. And I've said that all year. I will say I'm a Penix fan, because
same. I thought he should have won the Heisman personally.
Yeah. I don't even really think it was that close, but you know, that's how it goes. It, you know what I mean? It's always going to be that way with stats and a time zone.
I mean, LSU, more people are watching LSU play football than a Washington team who's playing later at night, because, you know, the Pac-12 after dark.
So you're the perfect person to ask this question. That's, I'm glad you brought that up. Now, I know you're a military guy. So have you lived in the East Coast time zone before?
Yeah, I'm from Massachusetts. Grew up in Massachusetts.
That's right. You're from
lived
Massachusetts.
There. Yeah, lived in Florida too. Yeah, no, you're good. Entire life has been East Coast without minus the 4 years.
So now that you're back, like, do you realize the difference in like what we, like the East Coast, like presentation of what they get to see? Like, oh, 100%. Like, especially with college football, it's probably stands out like, holy cow. Like, these,
nobody's,
they don't even
staying up until 10 o'clock at night to watch Washington beat up on Oregon State or something like that. Right. Yeah. Like Mountain West teams, nobody's going to stay up. I, as a kid, stayed up to watch Boise State, 'cause that's the only thing that was on, but I'm typically not going to stay up for a USC UCLA game if it's starting at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night on the East Coast. There's just no reason, especially if I have to work the next day or something of that nature. Like, there's just not going to happen. It's not realistic.
I mean, yeah, that's a real thing. So I like what Penix has done. I can't believe I forgot about you being like that totally.
Oh no, you're totally good. Yeah.
We literally have conversations about the Boston Celtics all the time, and I ask a dumbass question like
you do see a big difference in the presentation. I think on the West Coast, you obviously get more of those games, because at that time, you know, for on the West Coast, you're out going out to dinner at 5 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock now on the East Coast. All those games are done. So now on the West Coast, you're paying more attention because you're out to eat maybe, or what have you. They're more up in your face versus the East Coast, where it's Alabama, Georgia, SEC.
Yeah.
That's what's thrown in your face. And then of course the Big Ten thrown in your face, because all that stuff is right in this corridor. And so those are the schools that are obviously going to be targeted to that audience, and they make the money.
Yeah. So let's all spin this into another good question that's very specific. So you're a Boise State fan. You're watching the rest of the country go to what we call two super conferences, you know, at this point. Man. They're gonna, like, you got most of the teams, they got most of the name brands and all that. Like, as a Boise State fan, how do you feel? And it looks like we don't know if they're gonna guarantee I'll call it, you know, a group of five or six or whatever they're going to call it, because the Pac-12 disintegrating kind of throws off what their plan was for the playoffs. But like, you know, we know Boise State's the one that started all this, especially a lot of the playoff stuff back the way they played, you know, in the early 2000s and came along with Peterson and all that. So how do you feel about when you're a fan of a team who's not basically you don't have a guaranteed spot at the top at the beginning of the year like the rest of us do? How do you feel about the future of schools like Boise State or Jeremy's beloved App State or something like that moving forward in a 12-team playoff?
The recruiting is not going to be there. It's just not. And so I think your program's going to suffer. It always will. Like, yeah, and especially with the NIL, like, I'm all 100% get the money that you can in college, because most of these guys are not going to play past college. Yep. So I'm all about it. But when you have teams, even the Pac-12, they couldn't compete money-wise to a team like, you know, even Indiana, the Big Ten. The Big Ten just makes more money than the Pac-12. Yep. So they were able to pay players more so, because that's really what it is too. Like, a lot of these quarterbacks are going, getting paid deals. Like Genty, who had one of the most prolific years for running back, and nobody knows about it because he's Mountain West, he's only making $330,000 next year. And in my opinion, he's one of the best running backs to play the game right now in college, versus you know, Caleb Williams, who's living in a penthouse in LA because he can afford that. You know, it's, and so it kind of sucks. You have these two conferences, and now it muddies the waters even more, because you're losing games like that Michigan Ohio State game, because now there's more teams. Like there's no more Big Ten West, Big Ten East. Now it's
right
big and the SEC, and you're not really getting a lot of those key matchups that you would annually, because there's just more teams to spread the love and spread everything around. So it just, I think the product does suffer a bit from losing conferences. That's what made it exciting. The rivalries, right?
Like, yeah.
Oregon, Washington was a big rivalry. Well, now they're not really going to be able to do that. And so you kind of lose that bit of love.
Well, I mean, Texas, Oklahoma.
Yeah. There's another one.
Arkansas, Texas is a big one. It's weird. Oregon State isn't guaranteed at this point. But then so I definitely, because it's always weird for me, because I'm always unapologetically a Buckeyes fan. I'm straightforward with being like, just only because none of this stuff affects the biggest brand in the sport. Like, sure. I don't, and it's not that I don't feel bad or agree, but my point of view is always like, you know, it's narcissistic. It's always like, well, the Buckeyes actually, if anything, will get better because, you know, there's more money, there's more all this. But then I start to look, I'm like, what I don't like is, I think actually the teams, you know, the bottom tiers of the big conferences and, you know, all your other conferences really suffer because of everything you said. Like, it's going to be hard to steal a kid. I mean, some of the quarterbacks that Boise State's had over the years, how are they going to be able to steal them? Because you're going to start building depth with these super conferences, because now, like, to what you said earlier, now you're going to be like, okay, I can go to Alabama. I'm going to sit for 2 years, but I know I'm going to make the playoffs. I know people are going to see me, and then I'm going to take the job over. It's going to start becoming like the NFL's, to where, like, you know, you're going to have more faith in like being a backup, as opposed to like, if I go out, you know, if I go out west somewhere and throw for 8,000 yards, I don't know if people are going to notice anymore like they used to, because they're just, everything's going to be concentrated into these, you know, these conferences. I just don't know if people are going to be open-minded. And then what I worry is, and I've said this for, you know, a couple of years, as much as I like the 12-team playoff, I don't see how the bowl games survive. I don't know
who's I don't think they will. No, the only thing we're going to pay attention to is the playoffs, right? Nothing matters outside of that. You're not going to see a Boise State beat Oklahoma in a Fiesta Bowl ever again. Like, that's just the future of college football doesn't lie there anymore.
Yeah.
And
it's really weird, because that's what started this all. So it's like, it's kind of sad, you know, because literally games like that, especially that, I mean, that's the kicking off point for like, we need to change college football. Was that Fiesta Bowl?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's when and I get the BCS had to change, because that was equally frustrating, but
yeah,
it's just, yeah, you're not going to see, bowl games are going to mean less. You're not going to see. And then like Taylen Green, for example, left Boise State. Now he's with Arkansas. So that's a perfect example of losing your quarterback to a big school. Cause Arkansas is going to get way more looks as an SEC team than Boise State, regardless of what Arkansas is even doing in the SEC.
And as of right now, like, you know, with him, they're good, but like, they're still, I mean, they're, we'll just say they're sixth in the SEC. Like, that's what you're like, your choice now is like, got a chance to be great, you know, with this team, or I can go be on an average team in that super conference, but they're going to see me play Alabama. They're going to see me play LSU, or, you know, or Texas, or whoever, whatever example. I don't know what, I'm not going to pretend to know Arkansas schedule next year, but you get my point.
Still, it's an SEC team. So everyone's going to naturally look at what Arkansas is doing.
Yeah. And give more credit to it
than a Fresno State team. Right. Yep. So it's just, that's just how it is.
Well, for instance, the other side of that, we saw that happen with Jalen Milroe. I got sucked into the Jalen Milroe chain. I thought he did really become a much better player after the first few weeks of the season. Carried Alabama, beat Georgia, hands down, like it was all him. You know, the pass against Auburn, which you talked about. But then once we really saw it, we're like, okay, he's just an all right quarterback. Like, that's just the truth, though. Milroe's just a okay quarterback. He just plays on a super, you know, great team, and, you know, with great weapons and great coaching and all those things. So it's like, you know, that's the other side of it. It's like, he gets the benefit of the doubt more than like a Boise State kid is.
Yeah. It's Milroe. I thought he came wrong. I wasn't a truther, and I still kind of not. I thought he turned it on as he played more, but he looked really rough. A lot of those, especially primarily in the middle of the schedule. Which was another reason why I didn't think. And then he only threw for 116 yards or something like that in the bowl game, which kind of was funny to me, in a sense of like, hey, you know, you're knocking a team for not having a quarterback in the playoffs. And then he came out and really, well, their first touchdown just came on a short field. And then after that, they didn't do anything until like the end. And so it's like just the irony in that. But I think he's going to develop, but by no means is he showing up flashy. You know, he doesn't look flashy to me.
He's not an NFL quarterback. I'll say that. Like, he, you know, which you don't have to be, but it's like, but again, he's at Alabama, so he gets a chance to go to the playoffs as to where there's going to be NFL quarterbacks that, like, they're going to have to really scout. The NFL guys are going to have to, like, really scout now, or we're just going to have, like, you know, every SEC and every Big Ten quarterback go to the NFL, and it's going to dilute that product, too.
Exactly. So
it definitely changes a lot, you know, in that aspect.
Yeah.
So we talked about, okay, we know Alabama, we know, you know, like you said, Alabama got beat, so Michigan, Washington got it done. Two great games that night, sort of. And but that's the matchup we have. We'll do a few minutes on the college football championship game preview. How do you think this is? I don't even need to score anything. I just want to know how you think it's going to go.
I mean, honestly, these teams, I like the matchup. First of all, I love the color matchup between the uniforms, but
I'm a big uniform guy too.
I am. This is an all-time uniform matchup, man.
I like a nice mix. Yes. You know what I mean? Like they're contrasting. Yeah, I do. I like it. Even this has you got an M and you got a W. You even got the juxtaposition of that.
It's exciting.
Good call. And
this is something.
Is Oregon, Texas? Wait a minute. Not Oregon. Sorry. USC, Texas, that 05 game. Is that the greatest uniform matchup? Like, is that as good as it gets? Because that was good looking.
That was really good looking, too. I don't know. I really enjoyed, I think, the way the oranges and the purples mixed together between Texas and Washington. I think that might be my all-time favorite. Just because, nice. Like, I love, orange is my favorite color. Anyway.
I was gonna say, you got to lean orange. Like, I lean red. I got you.
I do really enjoy that. But I think, finally, again, this is, I don't want to say this championship game is going to save college football by any means, but to not have an SEC team here is kind of refreshing. And these are two teams, like Michigan runs the ball extremely well. Mm-hmm. Washington doesn't defend the run they're very suspect on the run. But on the flip side, Michigan's secondary is not that good against the pass, and Penix can throw the ball.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really going to come down to whose defense, right? It's the old age. Can Michigan's defense disrupt Penix enough to really make a difference in the pass game and not leave their secondary out to dry? Because you saw it happen against Bama. Milroe didn't have any time to throw. That pass rush was feasting. And that realistically is going to make the difference. If Michigan's defense can really make Penix uncomfortable, then I think Michigan's going to do enough to win this game.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, again, is McCarthy. Which McCarthy are we going to get? Because he was missing way too many easy passes in that semifinal game. There was guys, he was hitting them either in the hands and they were dropping the ball, or he was throwing behind them. That first interception that didn't count was just a bonehead decision, in my opinion. And even then, they won because Blake Corum in their running game. So in my opinion, it comes down to, you know, whose defense is going to make that play. Because I do think that there's going to be a good amount of points put up for the fact that I think Penix is going to throw the ball and I think Corum's going to run the ball really well.
Yeah, I do too. I think they're both going to be able to do what they do. I totally agree. I don't think this is going to be like one all of a sudden. I think Washington's the more battle-tested team.
Agreed.
Because here's what I've been saying for 3 weeks. We saw the version of Ohio State we got. We know how everybody feels about McCord, and they were within 40 yards of possibly beating Michigan. So like. Yeah. Michael Penix is probably double the quarterback and double the passing game. And so
this is the best quarterback Michigan's going to face all season.
Yeah. And it's not even really that close. So like they'll get pressure. They will hit him. No doubt about it, but he's also going to be able to, recognize it more and get some big throws off. He makes great decisions. And when he gets pressured, he tends to find those 10, 12 yard, you know, the routes. And sometimes those break free. Good athletes on both sides. Michigan's going to be able to run the ball. No doubt about it. Like, they're absolutely going to be able to run the ball. They'll be ready. They're well coached. I honestly haven't even picked it yet.
It's a coin toss, truthfully. I want to lean Michigan. My heart tells me, because my wife's a Michigan fan, admittedly. So I have watched them a little bit more, but I really think that when it comes down to it, I think Washington's going to make a couple extra plays.
Penix is just kind of on one. And here, these games, these championship games are long. The breaks are long.
Yes.
The momentum gets slowed down. So, like, typically the team that can just keep slinging it, it's like, it's almost like they have more possessions. Like, it just goes on and on and on. Like, the game, it's going to be hard to shorten the game, which, you know, we know that's a cliche, but that's what Michigan wants to do. Michigan would love to run the ball, you know, have 5-8.
They want to kill a clock. Yeah.
It's like they did with Ohio State. They got the ball back with, I forget now, but it was like 10 minutes left, and I'm like, it's over. And they basically ran out
the clock. They ran it down, and then they, you know, they took it all the way down to the last couple of minutes, and that's when Ohio State got the ball back. Exactly. 100%.
So like, they're great at that. And so sometimes just these championship games don't allow you because of the commercials and the stoppages. And so I think that
helps Michigan's defense, though, a little bit, because they're going to have a chance to catch their breath, you know, especially if they're getting dotted up. I think that's going to give their chance to.
That's true. They could go
adjust. I think actually that plays into Harbaugh's hands, because Harbaugh's a smart coach and he can make adjustments. And if he has more of these breaks to take longer looks at what's happening, especially like a longer halftime, I actually think that gives the defense a fighting chance in this game.
Yeah, I've always thought, like, that's the one thing about Harbaugh. As much as I dislike the guy just because he's kind of weird and all the annoying things he does, and I'm an Ohio State fan. Like, I just naturally, like, I've disliked him since he played there and all that. But I've always really enjoyed the way he coached these teams, and it makes me really angry because it's the one team that I won't go watch film on all year because I'm like, I just can't. So, but I do, like, I watch them against Alabama. I'm like, yeah, this is great. Like, the stuff they do with their running game and their blocking schemes and the pressure they bring and just the way their attitude and their focus and all that. Like, I appreciate everything, you know, that team does. I know I don't take anything away from Michigan on the field. It's purely off the field hatred that I have for Michigan.
Oh, that's how I feel about any NFC North team. Yeah.
there you go. I'm never a guy that's going to be like, oh, they stink. Like, no, they don't stink. I still don't like them. That doesn't mean they stink.
Exactly.
So since you brought it up, before we get out of here real quick, I want to ask you about your Packers. They've had a pretty neat season. They've had a classic NFL season to where it's like, oh, they're terrible. Oh, no, they're not terrible at all. Oh, we don't have a quarterback. Oh, my gosh, we have a quarterback. So after going through the emotions of it, going into, you know, the final week of the season, what's your takeaway from the Packers season so far? Because I know that you're as dialed in as anybody I know with this team.
It's the year one of a rebuild. To be in a win or go home. We've been playing playoff football now, right? We played playoff football against the Vikings. It was win or out. We handled business there. And I think what this team has done, it's all first or second year pass catchers. The fact that we are talking about how good the offense is and their cap hit next year is like $12 million is insane. I didn't expect this. Like, I thought we were going to go in there. This year was all about evaluating Jordan Love. We hit a rough patch, but what he's done the second half of the season, as far as when you blitz him, he's going to it's vintage Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to torch you. It's kind of impressive. The throws he's making into these tight spaces, hit the off balance throws off his back foot, the jumping and air throw. Like, he threw that one to Jordan Reed and he scissor kicked in midair. It's like, what was I watching? Like, what? It's exciting. You know, Packer fans keep getting away with it in a sense. The one glaring thing that will always drive a Packer fan nuts is the question mark at defense. Like, I've watched the same game since 2011. I have. And Joe Barry, regardless of what happens, regardless if we make the playoffs, he's not coming back next year. You can tell in
Matt LaFleur's
press conferences. Yeah. And I went to that Carolina game. I watched it in person. Bryce Young put up a career day. And I in the stands was calling out what the Packers were going to do on defense. So clearly there's an issue there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you take, like, the Bears have been playing better football, but the Bears haven't been playing elite football. Like, a lot of people have been kind of fooled into thinking the Bears have been playing elite football. And I know, like, last year we were in the situation, the Packers lost to the Lions, but I feel like it's different. Knock on every piece of wood. Because when I'm yelling on Twitter into the void on Sunday, just remember, knock on every piece of wood, because I think this feels a little bit different. I think this Packers team, their attitude, they've been known for, you know, as soon as you hit them in the mouth, they fold. I haven't seen that this year. They came back against the Saints. They were getting blown out by the Lions. They came back there. They blew the Lions out at home. They beat the Chiefs. They hung in there to beat the Chiefs. I think there really has been an attitude shift with this team. It feels different. The vibes are vastly different than any Packers team I've seen probably since 2015. And it gives me a lot of hope for the future. If we can just get that defensive side of the ball tweaked, I realistically think the Packers will win the Super Bowl within the next 3 years, because the NFL has so much parity right now. And there's like, even the 49ers, for as good as they are, they're a beatable team, in my opinion. I think they're definitely, and the Eagles have fallen off. The Cowboys are still a very beatable team, despite how they've looked. Even like the Ravens are good, but in their defense is disgusting, but they're even, they have chinks in the armor, I think, on the offensive side of the ball. So the NFL is wide open. I think the Packers are going to be facing the Cowboys wild card weekend. Feeling I'm getting.
I'm here for it. I'm here for that.
And you know, the history, like the Packers handle business in Jerry's world. And so it'd be very interesting.
Well, that and just, and plus I just want to see the young guys get a shot. That's a playoff experience. Like, it's Packers are one of those teams that I've never not rooted for. So it's always been like, I've got good friends, you know, that are Packers fans. It's never been a team that's bothered me. So I'm all like, every year for 10 years, I'm like, they're doing it again. I'm sure I know, you know, you more than I did, but like every year I'm like, this is the year. And then this is the year. So, but I've liked what they've done. I like Jordan Love as a quarterback. I just like watching him. I think he's
calm. He's surprisingly calm.
And he's kind of become I like it when these young, because I'm a big fan of young quarterbacks, because I like to just see development across the league. And it's like when he finally turned, I saw him start turning the corner, and I'm like, okay, he's fine. Like, we don't have to, like, we don't, like, yes, he's going to have growing pains. He's going to, you know, bumps in the road even for another couple years, but we don't have to move on. He's not like,
he's the guy.
He's not the Justin Fields level to where we're like, we're close, but we're not sure.
Is he the guy? Is he not the guy? Are we drafting a quarterback? Yeah, we're not there. I think the development he's shown has shown that, hey, he's going to get it. He's going to get extended in the offseason. He's the guy going forward.
Yep.
We're building around him. This offense has some dogs on him. I mean, if I would love to see Aaron Jones come back. He's somebody I think will come back. But I mean, Jaden Reed from Michigan State coming out of here, and he broke Sterling Sharp's record that's held for how long?
Crazy.
Dontavian Wicks, always open. That guy is always open. It makes no sense. Tucker Kraft is an absolute psychopath. I love it. We got two tight ends for the first time in Green Bay, having two tight ends that are really dynamic in the passing game. We haven't had
They've done a great job building the roster. I mean, I go back and look at it. Like, Watson, I think, was a great draft pick.
If he can stay on the field, he spreads the field so much.
He's so talented. Like, when he's on, I'm like, oh, this guy's different. Like, I can see why, you know, a guy like that. So, yeah, I'm definitely rooting for him, you know, and I hope everything goes right for you. I will say that once this time of year, and this is exactly what we talked about earlier, and then the wild card weeks and stuff, the NFL kills college football. As much as I love college football, we talked about it earlier. They do not know how to finish their season yet. The NFL has perfected it. They've changed the schedule to where all these games matter. And then the wild card weekend is one of the best weekends, you know.
Yes, wild card weekend is the best playoff weekend in my
opinion. Rather than talk,
it doesn't get better.
Yeah, rather than talk about the transfer portal for a month, we're watching teams play it out and get beat up and have fun. So the NFL is definitely killing that part of it. So other than that, your Bruins, are they all right?
The Bruins are first in the NHL right now.
Yeah, I thought they were up there again.
It's kind of surprising.
I bet on the NHL, but I never look at records. But I knew they were good. So like,
obviously last year, God, the disappointment.
We won't even bring it up. It was terrible.
They're doing it again this year, and it doesn't make sense because it's again another group of really young guys.
I'm just going to call it. This is the Bruins Celtics year. It's going to be one of those years. It's finally going to happen.
I think the addition
you've been
of,
so close.
Porzingis and Holiday are two like primarily Porzingis.
To get Holiday, I mean,
on the defensive side of the ball, what Holiday does, but
when it comes to the playoffs, Holiday is going to be the difference. Holiday last year doesn't let that happen. What happened?
No, absolutely
what's happened
not.
To him with the Heat? Like it's a done deal. Jimmy Butler's not like it's just like that was the best pickup of the offseason, I thought. Agreed. As far as like what a team needed. And then Porzingis playing good. Like if that whole starting lineup's good going into it, they're scary.
If they can stay healthy, yeah, I think that they're going to be a team that can contend with the likes of the Nuggets again, right? Because I think Porzingis a big guy. The Celtics have been missing a big guy like that. And yeah. Porzingis, you know, he's dynamic. He can hit the three, but also he's a big guy. He can get your rebounds. He can work it down low. And that's something the Celtics haven't had. Like Rob Williams was always hurt.
Yeah.
When he's on the floor, great. But he was off the floor more than he was on the floor. And so that really sucked. And it kind of takes pressure off Tatum and Brown, I think, when you have these other guys like Derek White stepping up.
I think from last year, I love Derek White.
I'm a big Derek White truther.
He's my kind of player who's like, you see the potential. He's like Maxey with Philadelphia is another one.
Yeah.
It's like a young guy with potential. And I'm like, I know how good you can be. And then when they get that good, I'm like, yes, A, I just want to be right. And B, I just root for
them. They play hard, man. They play hard.
When they're on, they're good. So I know everybody knows middle of the NBA season, people throttle down, take breaks and all this. I want to see them fully healthy in the playoffs. They'll be my pick unless something changes for them. They'll probably make a move at the trade deadline to maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them add one more piece with how close they are, because everybody thought that the Bucks and Dame were going to be running the show. And I wasn't sold. I wasn't sold because they lost. Like they lost a couple key pieces.
Oh, they gave up everybody and then got a guy back who doesn't like to play defense.
Exactly. And that's why
Dame does not.
My Twitter's a lot of Packer fans, but they're also Buck fans. So they were already celebrating, which I get it. Dame's a big name. But if you really watch Dame's game for somebody who's in his 30s now, it's
he's not a playoff defender.
No,
I can tell you
not.
That.
He's just not. Yeah. And so I think really there's only one or two, the Nuggets, maybe Suns are a team that could really challenge the Celtics come playoff time. And it'd be interesting playoffs for both, the Bruins and the Celtics. Hopefully one of my teams just makes some noise, man. It's very spoiled. Hey, to be like, we're always making the playoffs. Can we do something more?
You have to tell me. I watched my Buckeyes stumble over themselves the last month of the season. The Dolphins are like just at the exact wrong time.
Chubb just went down with an ACL injury.
Went through the meat grinder. They're going to wind up playing on the road after everything they've done and all this. So like everything's not going by. The Bulls are at least like playing fun basketball. That's all I got. Bulls are playing. Maybe the Dolphins surprised me. I think the Dolphins could get a good.
I think road they're a team match. That can make some noise.
I think if they go on the road, if they get a good matchup, and out by good, I mean a dome or Jacksonville or something like that, then I'll feel better about it. If they have to go on the road to Buffalo or something, it's a wrap. But it's been a fun season. So
yeah,
and that was awesome to catch up, man. You're the best at this. I'm gonna take like 20 seconds, tell everybody where they can hear you and see you and everything you got going on real quick before we get out of here. Oh man,
absolutely. Hops Geek News. That's the easiest place, right? Social media, find us there, and then also on any podcasting platform. We do, comic books, movies, TV shows. I write comic book reviews weekly and for Nerd Initiative. So nerdinitiative.com, find me there. But yeah, man, it's always a pleasure to get to unleash my sports knowledge, because it's there. It's if you find me on Twitter, then you'll know on my personal, I'm just talking. That's all I do on that one, is talk sports for better or for worse. But
yeah,
I appreciate it. It was good to catch up, man. And hopefully post-championship, we'll catch back up.
It was awesome. Thanks for doing this, man. I'll be around. So thanks everybody for listening. Thanks everybody for watching. Like, share, review. You guys know the deal. It's Jeff Needs Sports. Check out Off the Ball Network, everything we're doing over there. We got the trivia shows coming out. We got super week coming up for the before the Super Bowl that we do every year. So just like, check out what we're doing over there. Follow us on Twitter, and it's been a pleasure. Thanks everybody. Be kind. Have a great new year, and we are out of here.